for listening to The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. My Talk 107.1. Happy Monday. Bradley.
Yeah.
Do you know a woman named Marilyn Smith?
I don't think so.
Well, she is 70 years old.
Oh.
And she is the author of 7 cookbooks.
Wow.
She most recently published her book, Peace, Love, and Fiber.
Now we're friends.
Yes.
You know I love my fiber.
She likes to give informational videos, and she's done 7 cookbooks, you know. And she has gone viral. She is on TikTok, and she did a video. Actually, let's just go ahead and play it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going for a fart walk after dinner is something that's going to help you age wonderfully. And what? If you follow me, you know that my husband and I go out for fart walks most nights after dinner. So about 60 minutes after we've eaten, we put on our running shoes and off we go. Now, why do we do this? Well, we eat a lot of fiber, so we have gas. Everybody does. And you fart when you walk. So that's why I named it that. But the main reason that we do the fart walks is because by walking for as little as 2 minutes, we usually walk for about 10, 15, 20, but not really quickly. It's more of a moderate walk. We are helping reduce our chances of developing type 2 diabetes. Why? Well, because walking is helping maintain our blood sugars, keeping them from ricocheting all around. And as you age, especially after 40, you have a bigger chance of developing type 2 diabetes. So, sign yourself up for fart walks. I invented the hashtag. Yeah, so.
Oh my God, I love
it. Smith, the fart walk inventor.
Oh my God,
my
I love
God.
Her. She must be Canadian for 2 reasons, because her name on TikTok is Marilyn, the Queen of Fibber, and mm-hmm. that's a British spelling, and she doesn't sound British, and she had a little Canadian in her voice, so she must be from up
wow,
north.
You're very astute. I didn't notice that. Uh-oh.
I also just love the idea of a fart walk.
I do too.
I will say, I eat a lot of fiber. I don't feel like I'm particularly... extra gas.
Well, I think if you eat it a lot, your body becomes
used to it,
so you're not...
Like, I just had a bunch of beans for lunch,
yeah.
And you haven't noticed any wind.
I have not, but, you know, if I would be delighted.
If I did?
Yeah, because I would just laugh so hard.
If I farted? No, I'm not farting in here.
Now, why do people say you're farty? Because I've heard in the past, oh, he's very gassy.
Oh, because I burp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's different.
Well,
it's
because
the other way.
Holly Roberts and I can burp battle each other,
yeah.
Like back and forth. Like she'll burp, I'll burp, she'll burp, I'll burp. And then we just keep going back and forth.
I can't do that.
It's just a thing.
It is. I just listened to a podcast about burp fetishes.
Okay.
People have burp mm-hmm. fetish.
A burp fetish? Like people get turned on by burps?
Yeah, there's a woman. Well, I mean, there are several that
like,
do.
What kind of burp? Like, oh.
Well, there's all different categories. There's like bassy, loud, powerful, like the longest. I mean, they're like graded. And this woman makes all of her money being a burp fetish queen.
That's awesome. On like OnlyFans? God, I should do this.
Well, yes, you should.
Do you have to just like, she just burps, or it's like she's burping in a nighty?
No, sometimes people
hey
request
guys.
That. Like they want her to, like her most famous video is just her cleaning her house and she's just ripping them.
Can we hear them?
I could probably find
is it
somewhere.
Inappropriate? Can we not play that on
They're
the
so loud.
They are they like, so,
no, it's unbelievable.
Like those kind of burps? Or
and
they
then
just
they
like,
had her biggest fan on the podcast as well. It's called The Secret Room is the podcast.
Her biggest fan?
Her biggest fan. He pays for burp videos all the time.
And he gets excited?
Yes.
Just listening to her burp.
He said that.
That's uncomfortable. Like, what if you're out? Like, does he just go to restaurants?
I think his
and, like, walk up and down the booths?
But it's women. Like, it has to be. Because for some reason, it's just, like, so shocking. I guess it's so, like, wow, they're so.
And it's like an aggressive burp, not just like a.
You would not believe how this woman can burp so loud.
It makes me want to burp so bad right now.
Do it.
I just want to burp real bad.
I don't care.
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. Well, anyway, it's a thing and you could make some money. So could Holly. Like, I thought about Holly the whole time I was listening to this.
Yeah.
Like, you would not, like, you look at this woman and you're like, I can't believe that just came out of her.
Holly, you'll say the same thing. Yeah. Mike, or Mike's working on something over there.
Not trying to find some burps.
It makes me think of something else. Do you remember The Other End? That got real popular online for a while.
Oh, it did?
You know, people who get attracted to the other sounds.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's a, they talk cakes. About that in the.
Do they talk about that?
Cakes.
I don't want to talk about this on the air, but there's people who get excited about toots.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they talked about that in the podcast.
So
a different
women
community.
Would sit on different baked goods.
A cake?
You never heard that? There's a whole website you could go to. Where ladies would make toots on a cake. It's going to ruin what? We've already ruined it. I don't know what you're worried about.
Not the radio show. Oh. It's going to ruin the cake. It's going to ruin
Well, I think that's the point, Noel. I think
nobody
that's...
wants it.
Speak for yourself. Apparently, some people do. I don't think Marilyn is involved. I don't think Marilyn is involved in
No,
that.
But I just, okay, so back to fart walks. Back to fart walks. I just picture her and her husband, like, do they laugh the whole time? Because I am,
I toot in front of your significant other?
I try not to, but then sometimes when I'm going up the stairs,
yeah,
he'll go, uh-oh. And then it makes me do it more because I'm embarrassed.
Oh my God, I love that you are so, you still, after all these years, you guys get embarrassed around each other?
Yeah.
Or just you?
No, well, I mean, sure, I'm sure he does.
Oh,
yeah.
We're just like letting things.
You just do? Yeah. You do?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't.
15 years. I mean, there ain't a sound that my body makes that he hasn't heard intimately. Oh, I don't mean intimately. I just mean up close.
Careful. Oh, my gosh. So if you want to follow this lady on TikTok, let's see. What does she go by here?
Marilyn, the queen of fiber. And that's fiber with an R-E and not an E-R.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Mike?
I wasn't. I was just laughing along.
I thought you had something to add.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Well, I was doing a ghost hunt the other couple weekends ago.
Totally normal for Dawn.
Yes. And I was recording everything, and I was trying to squeeze by this tripod.
Oh, and you squeeze something out?
Yes. And it's on the camera audio my audio.
You farted in front of me once.
I did.
Yeah. When was that?
And Mike. Well, we were doing some kind of fashion show in the hallway or something.
Oh, yeah, and you just accidentally
ripped.
Ripped
it wasn't. Keister. It was just a. It wasn't like a long tuba sound. It was just a short little. Not
oh,
that.
Geez.
Not. I'll admit it though. I'm not one to go. Huh. I'm just going to ignore that. You know what I mean? I'll say, oh my God, did you hear that?
Yeah, no, I get it. It's natural.
Anyway, I just think about this woman, Marilyn, and her husband just walking. Do they just have normal conversation?
Well, she calls it a fart walk. We used to just call it crop dusting.
Well, I think it's the walking farts where it's like every time you
make a move. Well, that's what crop dusting is. You're like, you know, walking down a grocery.
I thought crop dusting was just like, it's silent, and then you go by, and you just leave. Yeah.
But you can release it as you're walking. I don't think that takes special talent.
But I think crop dusting is silently moving into an area and then leaving. And they're like, what happened?
Well, usually it's because you got stuck. And all of a sudden you're like, what did I just get?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is the worst. Don't you just hate when you walk down you turn down a corner and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah. And then you're hoping and praying that nobody else comes around the corner thinking it's you.
Or the worst is when you go into a public restroom and you about pass out and then you turn around and somebody's standing right there and you're like, it wasn't me.
I know.
It was. And then, of course, they're going to go, of course, you're going to say it's not you. You know?
Yeah. You just got to get out of there as soon as you can before someone else comes in.
Well, thanks to Marilyn, the Queen of Fiber.
She's great. You can find her on TikTok.
Learned something today.
She seems delightful.
When we come back, Mike is going to share all his thoughts, not about passing wind, but that new Civil War movie that came out. He saw it this weekend, and it sounds like it's not the movie some people might have thought it was. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear what he not only thought of the movie, but what we have to look forward to when we come back right here on.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Animals.
Hey guys, Bradley here for my good friends at Little Blind Spot and Hunter Douglas. Did you know that without energy-efficient window coverings, a home can lose up to 30% of heating and cooling energy through its windows? According to the Department of Energy, when it comes to Hunter Douglas window treatments, energy efficiency and comfort go hand in hand. Hunter Douglas cellular shades are the most insulating interior shades available anywhere. While you might think your vinyl blinds are helping save energy, studies have shown that cellular shades outperform traditional vinyl blinds in terms of energy efficiency. Visit the Little Blind Spot showroom to explore how premium Hunter Douglas window treatments can enhance and elevate your home, delivering the utmost in sophistication and quality. Choose from different materials, styles, operating systems, fabrics, and colors to create your perfect Hunter Douglas window treatment solution. Check out the Little Blind Spot showroom in downtown Hopkins or online at littleblindspotmn.com.
The Little Blind Spot, we're big on service.
Welcome back. The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, My Talk 107.1. Thanks for joining us. If you missed any of the show, just skip over the first part of this hour. Just kidding.
Oh, God.
No. You can download our podcast.
You're gonna learn about fiber.
Yes, you are. And a woman that likes to, you know,
it's healthy. It's a natural.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we have to move on. Which is a good thing. Mike, you saw a movie I can't wait to see. I just didn't want to see it opening weekend because I was like, there's going to be so many people there. Civil War.
Yes.
We've seen this trailer for a long time in theaters.
This is the Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons. Oh, God, there's Kaylee Spaney.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in this film.
Nick Offerman plays the president.
It's an A24 production.
Yep.
And the box office just blew up with this. Well, I shouldn't maybe say blew up, but with the Civil War film. You saw it in theaters. What was that like?
It's ironic that you say that because from the very get-go, we were about 4 minutes in and you're like, oh, this is intense. This is whatever. And then all of a sudden it becomes very intense and it never really lets you up. Very early on, they let you know what this is going to be about. You see some of the most horrific images I remember ever seeing. And these are all in reference to, I believe, like actual situations and things that have played out throughout all of this world when it comes to wartime photography. So you're saying
that's included in the film?
Yeah. This team of journalists are traveling across the U.S. Basically, they're going from New York, trying to work their way down to Washington to get a quote from this fascist president who is played by, like you said, Nick Offerman. Now, the thing about this movie is it's about, you mentioned Jesse Plemons is in it. He's in it, but very briefly, and we'll get to his performance coming up. It's really Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, Wagner Moura, and Stephen McKinley are the four people that are making this trip. And it's kind of a road trip-esque feel to it, but you're driving through a war-torn up United States. Mm. So you're going from New York down to D.C., trying to work your way around. They're trying to drive in certain areas because certain areas are more affected by the Civil War than other areas. Now, the one thing I told you guys off the air and what I really appreciate about this film is that it's a dystopian, film. It's all about political violence, but it's not political.
Got it.
All we know is that the president is this fascist dude who has a speech very early on. We never hear from the president again the rest of the entire time. We just know that he's ordered airstrikes against his own people. He's done all of these very, not awesome things. And we know that there is a group called the Western Forces, which is the team. It's basically a alliance between Texas and California. And they're looking to basically take over what is the loyalist states to the U.S. You also have the Florida Alliance and the New People's Army. Now, I'm just saying that to give you an idea that, like, they don't, but this isn't what it's about. It's not about the war.
Yeah.
It's not, about
not like
sides.
A political
this
polemic.
This has nothing to do with that. Yo.
Story that, you know, we're supposed to think about our, you know, current day, blah, blah, blah. It's more about the experience, which is not to say that, you know, it's still not maybe making people think. It's just not about the current politics of the moment.
That's good.
It's
That's
about
a relief.
Well, yeah, because frankly, if that was part of it, don't sign me up for that because I could just turn on the news.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Like I don't need that in my life.
So it's just about this team of journalists that are trying to, again, make that trek. And Kaylee Spaney, again, is fantastic in this. Kirsten Dunst plays she plays the veteran war photographer who's been all over the globe. And she even talks about in the film how she always thought that when she was taking these pictures from these war-torn countries, that she was sending them back to the United States as a warning of being like, we just got to avoid this. Like, this can't happen in our country. And she kind of battles with that a little bit. Kaylee Spaney is a very young photographer who happens to find her way along for the ride, and she has always looked up at Kirsten Dunst's character as like a hero because she wants to get into the same business. And so it's a fun dynamic between those two. You mentioned Jesse Plemons. Oh my goodness, this guy. And I saw somebody post this, and it was a perfect way to sum up his acting. He can act in such an empty feeling way, like he's so, whether it's his character from Breaking Bad all the way to this character that you see here, he can play the role of like super smart guy in like Killers of the Flower Moon, the detective guy. He can play so many different roles, mostly because he just has this like hollow emptiness, but in a great way. And in
like
this
detached,
and like the sociopath that he plays in this film is not on the screen very long. It is the most memorable part of this film.
Interesting.
And it's
in the trailer, he is terrifying.
Oh, and that's honestly, that's almost all that it's not. Again, it's not a lot of him, but it is that moment there and that part of it that is just eerie. And it's really, really good. Again, it's dark, it's gritty, it's hard to watch. There was a few times early on where Sarah and I looked at each other and we're like, is this whole movie going to be this intense? Because it was uncomfortable.
So how long was this film?
That's a great question. It didn't feel super long. No, not at all. And again, those two, I mean, Kirsten Dunst and Kaylee Spaney, their relationship was a really, really fun part of this to watch, and just how that all played out. And again, the journey part of it. But I think the biggest takeaway from this film is just, again, kind of what her character talked about in there. We need to be able to be open-minded and to listen to each other and to not fall victim to, you know, again, this isn't a political movie, but like the statement that it made was very well put, where it's like, we just got to be receptive to other people's beliefs, because if this ends up happening, it's the horrors of war that we've also always seen elsewhere.
Yeah. No, that's interesting that you say that. So again, if you're just joining us, Mike is giving us his review of Civil War, this film that came out this weekend. It's in theaters now, and it looks like it's getting pretty good scores across the board. In addition to your so far positive review.
Yeah.
It didn't obviously then feel like it was beating you over the head with a message.
Definitely not. No.
But you still took a message away from it.
Correct. I would. And I think that's the message taking away of just, hey, we got to be open and, you know, respect other people's beliefs and be receptive to other people's beliefs and not necessarily so hard and fast in our own beliefs that we can't find a way to coexist.
Yeah, right.
Because this is what could potentially happen.
Really easy to dehumanize people and then they become an enemy and then it's all game over.
Exactly. And we've seen so many different war movies throughout time. This is a kind of a rare, there's not a ton of movies where we see like a war torn U.S. And that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
There are scenes where they're literally opening up, attacking the U.S. or attacking Washington and D.C. Mm. You get to follow hand in hand. And again, this is like you said to start this, it's not necessarily what you think it is. It's not about sides. It's not about the message, not about what they're trying to accomplish. It's just a team of journalists literally being detached from what's happening, just taking pictures of it. Mm. And the way it's shot is really cool because there's some of these intense moments that almost feel video game like, where you're inside like thermal imaging and you're inside the soldiers. But then all of a sudden it stops and it's black and white photos because you're literally seeing the shots are being shot as if you're in the camera of these journalists.
Interesting.
And it was so so well done. I loved
more
it.
More about their personal lives, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah.
That's a good way to tell a story.
I'd give it, I gave it like a 9 out of 10. I thought it was fantastic.
Awesome. Wow, Mike, thank you so much for that review of Civil War again in theaters. And I look forward to seeing it. I mean, maybe we'll wait until it streams, but I'm still excited to see it. Dawn?
Yes.
Fabulous. Definitely. Hey, when we come back, I want an owl, but not really.
Oh.
Kind of like Selma Hayek has an owl. Did you know she has an owl?
The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1. I see you eyeing me down, but you never know much past my
name or how I'm running this room around, and it, I'm still half here. Take a look at your forecast. It is brought to you by JTR Roofing, Inc. You can visit JTRRoofingInc.com today and mention My Talk to save up to $1,000. We've got some rain and storms. So crazy, did you know you
got that effect? I said, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. All day. No, not all day, just until 3 p.m. So download our podcast if you miss any of our show, as well as Blinded by the Item. That's its own podcast. We would love for you to join our community and like and subscribe to Blinded by the Item.
Our community of wackadoodle.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Selma Hayek has an owl, and you're jealous.
Oh. I think that's an owl. Is that an owl?
I don't think so.
What is that?
That's the lady with the walking fart.
Duck walk. No, we're talking about owl walk. Okay, so I saw Selma Hayek apparently has an owl. Who knew? She has a rescue owl. And, of course, the Daily Mail has to sexualize her because they're like, within two sentences, she
her
recently
boobs.
Put on a busty display. I'm like, no, she's just, that's her boobs.
Yeah.
She has large breasts, which, by the way, are beautiful. But we don't need to start every sentence about Selma Hayek with her breasts. Instead,
right.
We should be talking about the fact that she has an owl. I did not know she has an owl named Kearing. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. She shared a post on Instys, and it's like her meditating with her owl, which is apparently like her favorite thing to do.
That's so cute.
She goes, love meditating with an owl on my head. Hashtag meditate. Apparently, in 2021, she talked about the fact that she ended up with a white-faced owl that was rescued, and she gifted it to her husband at the time, Francois Henri Pinault.
That's very good. You're starting French.
Yeah, I just started learning French.
You did.
So I'm very...
Now you can help us pronouncing the French, so I don't have to ask Tony.
I took two lessons on Pimsleur, my language app.
That's great. You're already...
I don't really know much, but...
20%
better. 20%
better.
Mm-hmm. But back to Selma and her owl. She gifted it to her husband, but it ended up taking a liking to her. So essentially, it ended up being for herself.
She's like... The owl's like, I don't want anything to do with him. You rescued me.
And then I was reading about it, and I was like, oh my God, this is so adorable. So they have a close bond, apparently. She says when her husband's not in town... The owl sleeps in the room with her.
Aww.
She goes, we have certain routines before we go to sleep. I watch TV on my iPad, and she likes to stand on the iPad. And then I just thought, oh my God, I want an owl. And then I realized...
It pooped on the iPad.
Yeah. I know, owl poops. Actually, owl poops are probably like one and dones. They're probably not like loosey-goosey like regular bird poop. Because if you think about it, and I think I might have seen this on a nature show once.
Okay, please tell.
Because owls eat critters.
Yeah.
And then they just basically poop out their bones and teeth and hair, like in a little packet.
Oh, my gosh.
Because,
it's
you know,
a present.
They got to get rid of all the stuff they, you know, don't
digest.
So I think owl poops are probably rather neat and tidy.
Okay.
Compared
Let's
to like a chicken turd.
Yeah.
anybody who ever seen chicken poo is not.
I sure have.
Not cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, the moral of the story is it got me thinking, oh, God, it would be so cute to have. I had a cockatiel once, and she was real sweet, and she would, you know, sit on my shoulder and take
naps.
Birds
are smart.
Birds are real smart. But they're also, and you know this, well, I don't know about birds in particular, but animals are a lot of work, and they're a lot of commitment. And if you can't make the time or the effort, it's really not worth having. And so then I was just like, well, no, you could never have an owl because an owl would bond to you, and then... You're going to be off on a cruise and the poor owl's going to be like, where's my guy? Right.
Yeah. And I know I can hear people clickety clacking right now. We're not getting owls. Just we know.
No, we're not getting owls.
And we're not telling people to get owls.
No, in fact, it's quite the opposite.
Commenting on a woman who has an owl.
Yeah, in fact, it really is a lesson in, like, I'm an adult enough to know that I can't have an owl, but I kind of want one. And we were talking about this off the air. You and I both have had exotic pets before and learned the hard way that they're not meant for human companionship.
No, not really. And I blame the pet store. Yeah. But what was your exotic pet?
I had a pygmy possum, a South American pygmy possum. They're so cute. They look like kind of like the size of like a small rat.
Yeah.
But they have the cutest little faces because they are...
Oh, it kind of looks like the sugar glider I had.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost identical. Oh.
Except not as like... I think pygmy possum's maybe not as cute as a sugar glider.
No, it looks almost the same. Oh, okay. The sugar glider's eyes are bigger and it has flaps, so it glides around.
That's what
room.
You had.
Yes, I did. And if they don't want to be caught, then they won't be. I'll just say in the middle of the night when they get out of their entrapment or cage, whatever it's called.
Oh, I'm sure.
It just would fly around and then it's like it would crawl up my boyfriend's arm. And he was like 6'7", so I had a very long arm, crawl up. And then when it got to the end, he could feel it tickling like his hand. And then he would just like fling his hand in the night. I don't have to actually do that and hit the microphone. But then it would just glide onto the wall. And then it also would bark like a little puppy, too. So there we were at 3 a.m. trying to catch Mateo.
Oh, I had Patty. Patty died of a lung infection, sadly, because, again, you can't create a habitat for these animals that's...
Patty opossum?
Patty opossum, yeah. I still have her ashes, actually.
You do?
Yeah, but I need to let them go because I don't need to be carrying around 20-year-old, actually 25-year-old pygmy possum ashes. But she was a great pet. Anyway, she taught me a valuable lesson, which is don't keep exotic animals. I did want to share an email from Carissa Dawn, who said to us, I remember when I was a kid dissecting owl pellets for mice skeletons.
Oh.
It's a thing.
Oh my gosh, owl pellets. Makes it sound so much better. Thank you, Carissa.
Do you ever have any like exotic pets, Mike, or want one?
I had a gecko when I was a kid.
Oh, sure.
That was about the most exotic as it got for me. Otherwise, we got a dog after that.
I bet you can keep geckos with relative ease in a way that's humane.
Yeah. I mean, around here, they're obviously not common. So you got to keep them in the right environment. But yeah, he had his little, whatever you call it. Little area
Hot
where he
rock.
Lived. Yeah. He lived in there and
terrarium.
He was fine. Terrarium didn't live very long, but he did his thing.
Yeah. I just think a lot of times people like the idea and then you realize how much time, effort, and oftentimes money.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Like, because you have to create these very unique conditions. I mean, even something as simple as like a saltwater aquarium, it can be a lot of work.
Absolutely. Yes. And also, just to know about the animal before you buy it is a really good thing.
What happened to your sugar glider?
Well, we sold her. The pet store that sold it to my boyfriend said that she was a boy and then she was a girl. And we sold her to some people who had a boy. And they had like a whole room that was bigger for her to,
with other jump sugar around. Gliders, maybe?
Yes.
Maybe?
And the thing is we wish we would have known is that they are nesting animals and they need to be with each other.
Yeah.
Because if they're alone, they get very sad and could die of loneliness.
Oh, that's so sad.
God, what a downer. I'm so sorry. They sure are cute, though.
Yeah, but don't keep them as pets unless you're, you know, fully
They're nocturnal
committed.
As well.
Well, that's the other thing. A lot of, well, even like, is it like ferrets? Aren't they nocturnal?
Or like sure. Cat snakes?
Is that what you call them? Cat snakes? It looks like a little cat.
There was a post one time on like, I don't know, Craigslist or something. And somebody was asking, like, I found this cat snake. I don't know what it is, but it's like a cat, but a snake. And people are like, that's a ferret.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah. Always research if you're buying a pet that isn't, just an average house pet.
If you could have a creature as a pet and it was totally humane and acceptable and you had the wherewithal to take care of it, and the time commitment, what would you get?
I really do like sloths. I think they're really cute.
You want a sloth?
Yes.
Why do you like sloths?
Because they're fascinating to me. They move so slow and they only come down to poop. Like they live up in the tree and then they come down.
What?
They go slowly down the tree
down
to
the tree.
Poop. and then they go back up the tree.
Don't I'm like, you think you get kind of bored? Everybody's obsessed with sloths, and I saw a sloth. We were on vacation in Costa Rica.
Yeah,
and everybody's like, "Oh my god, a sloth! Oh my god, a sloth!" And I was like, "It's just a lump."
Oh,
I mean, they were cute.
Yeah, they're cute. I think that,
but like in terms of like interacting, you'd be like, you'd ask a question. 20 minutes later, you'd get one syllable.
So, yeah, I mean,
like, how you doing today,
that's
sloth?
My speed. I've had a chance to hold sloths and feed sloths.
So you want a sloth? All right.
I would, but I know I don't want a sloth.
Yeah, no. Again, yeah. I'm saying in a world where it was humane, acceptable, you had the time and the money and the commitment and the wherewithal and the scientific knowledge, you would give yourself the pleasure of befriending a sloth.
Two sloths.
Two sloths, excuse me.
So they can have babies.
Two sloths. And a microphone. Mike?
Red panda, not close.
Red panda.
They're so adorable.
Oh, God, those it's like a ones... little raccoon.
Uh-huh, it's like a little red raccoon.
Little
They're
rocky
so cute.
Red raccoon.
They are so cute, and I love how they put their hands up.
Yeah, when they get scared, they put their hands up.
It
like,
looks
ah!
like, I, you got
didn't
me.
Do it. My favorite was, yeah, there's, I'm sure you've seen the clip,
it
but there's
me.
A they put a red panda, they put an extra rock in its enclosure that wasn't there normally, and he comes out because he was like getting fed or whatever. He comes back out of the closure and he sees it and he goes, ah, he puts his hands up in the air, and then he's like, oh, it's just a rock. And then he just keeps walking by.
Aww.
They're so adorable.
They
How about you,
Bradley? Minnesota Zoo, I think.
I know. Yeah. Or I think, yeah.
Speaking of Minnesota Zoo, the animal that I would keep is called a fennec.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a fennec? It's a fox. And
oh, yes.
They had one at the Minnesota Zoo when we did Project Down and Dirty, and I got
yes.
to meet the fennec.
Oh.
They are the cutest. I always think oh. Wheezy looks kind of like a fennec if
yes.
a fennec like had a baby with a poodle.
Yeah.
Because they have the same coloring, and they got these big ears, and
oh,
they are
ears.
Just the sweetest.
Yeah, I like
critters.
That anteater we fed too that had the onesie on. Toopy.
There was an anteater with a onesie?
Yeah, Donna and I got to feed an anteater.
Are you looking at a fennec,
I'm
Mike?
I'm looking at them. Those ears
They're so
are
cute.
So
and they
huge.
Run really fast.
Oh, my
They're like,
goodness.
They just run around like zip, zip,
yeah.
zip.
Yeah. Oh, so cute.
They look cat-like, but they're fox.
And yeah, they're little
yeah,
foxes.
Yeah, they're so cute.
Oh.
Anyway, I don't keep exotic pets.
Unless you are trained.
Go see them in their natural habitat.
Yes.
When we come back, we're going to be in our natural habitat, Dawn.
We are?
Yeah, when we talk about celebrities and pop culture and Tom Cruise
right.
giving Dakota Fanning a gift every year for her birthday since she was 11. That's not creepy. You'll tell us why when we come back right here on Mike.
Real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch. Come take it to the floor now.
Welcome back to the show, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, My Talk 107.1. We have to open up the phone lines about birthdays.
Okay.
651-641-1071. Are you somebody that keeps track of other people's birthdays and sends them a message and you have a whole calendar? And
I hope so, because yeah. you got about 6-8 days. Yeah.
Yeah. I know when your birthday is.
Oh, you do?
I sure do.
How do you know my
23rd
birthday?
23rd of April, huh?
How do you know that?
I do. I know. I wrote it down in my calendar.
Look at you.
Okay.
I don't. I'm not very good at that. Jamie is the keeper of the records in our home, so
okay.
he will often text me, hey, don't forget it's so-and-so's birthday today, because he keeps all them dates.
So he's the one in your family that does
Totes
this.
Totes my goats.
That is good.
Why are we talking about it, though?
We're talking about it because Dakota Fanning was opening up to her co-star, the hot priest. What's his name? Andrew Scott.
Andrew Scott.
They are in Ripley together. And so it's the, you know, like when the actors interview actors.
Sure.
That whole series. And she talked about how Tom Cruise gives her a birthday gift every year. And this started when they were actually filming War of the Worlds when she was 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember War of the Worlds?
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Yes.
And I remember being like sort of not very excited about it. It was kind of a womp womp to me,
yes.
but I know a lot of people enjoyed that film.
Yes, yes.
Because it did well.
I know that Tom Cruise was heavily, I think he was an executive producer on it. I thought it was pretty good, but it did have this feeling of like, I want to see more.
Yeah.
It was so like.
Well, and it was kind of gimmicky.
Yes.
I'm not going to give it away, but.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Based on, you know.
The OG.
That's right. Yes. It took 73 days to film, so I'm sure that he handpicked her when it comes to, he was, I'm sure, very heavily involved in the casting process. And I'm sure as an 11-year-old, it was an action film. So she probably went through a lot and he really appreciated her. Well, he gave her, for her 11th birthday, a Motorola Razr phone.
Ooh, that's really fancy back in the day.
Yes.
That's a nice gift.
She said that she loved it. She says, oh my God, I was so excited. And she didn't have anybody to call or text at the time, but she felt so cool. I was 11. I loved having it. I loved it. I felt so cool. And then Andrew Scott goes, oh, do you still get gifts? And she was like, yeah, he actually sends me a gift every year on her birthday. And she just turned 30 earlier this month in April. But then he didn't ask, what did he send you this year? I want to know every gift.
That would be the hanging, you know, or dangling like little bit of information that seems like low hanging fruit. You should just, what did he give you?
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was edited out or anything. It just was like a seamless.
I also thought, well, that's pretty cool that Tom Cruise continues to give her a gift. The thing we know about Tom Cruise is that he likes to give birthday gifts because people get them, those cakes.
Oh,
you know those
right.
coconut cakes,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Certain people get those coconut birthday cakes every year.
I mean,
so he's obviously a fan of giving gifts, which I thought that's pretty awesome. But then I thought, does it get weird after a while? Does she have to send him a gift?
Good question.
See, we do have people calling in. We got Kristen on the line. You want to hear from Kristen?
Yes.
Yes. Hello.
Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do you keep track of people's birthdays?
Oh, my gosh. I have a system. So I keep it in my phone. I keep it on my paper planner.
Uh-huh.
And I do not feel like text or Facebook messages count.
Oh, okay.
So what I do is the probably 1 to 2 months, I go out and I get all my birthday cards, whoever birthdays is coming up.
Yeah.
And I don't just get generic ones. They have to be really special. And then immediately I address, stamp, and write the message and that the date that I want to send it in the mail. And so I just put them in chronological order for date. And then I can just look. And then I put reminders on my phone, like, you know, send Anne's birthday card. And so it's a complex system. But I think opening the mail and you get a real birthday card is unheard of these days and very special.
That is so cool.
Kristen, you're winning at the game of life because now I just feel like a bad human.
Kristen, can you organize my life, please?
Yes. Yes, I am very, I'm very organized, very tight.
Are you a Virgo?
No, I'm a Libra.
Oh, interesting.
I'm a Libra too.
You got to have some Virgo in your chart somewhere because that you sound like my partner is obsessed with that level of organization. Like, I'm surprised he doesn't have a system like that. So kudos and congrats.
You're so sweet.
Yeah.
Oh,
I hope you get birthday cards too. When's your birthday?
Oh, my friends know.
Okay.
They know.
All right.
It's birthday month. But yes, my birthday is on October 8th. And either they mail them or give me them in person. And
well, so, everyone listening should send Kristen a birthday card.
Just
this
on
year.
Our, yeah.
Just don't give out your address, please.
That's right.
We'll accept them at the station.
I can organize your life, all your systems. So,
all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for sharing. That is next level, Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have a good one, Kristen.
Yep. Thanks.
You feeling bad about yourself now?
Yep.
Good.
Yeah. But I appreciate this. Like, cause it really comes from a place of caring. And I do care about people's birthdays, but then I just forget, you know?
You're not selling that because that sounds like you don't care. That really just
I
sounds
care
like
in my heart,
it's about caring. I just don't.
And then I go, I don't know. What do you think about me?
To me, we were talking about this off the air, that thing of where like Facebook made me realize when everybody's birthdays were because I didn't keep track, unlike a lot of people in my life, like my mother, like Jamie, like my aunt. Anyway, so I was like, oh, I got a leg up now because Facebook will tell me. Well, then it just became like, I felt overwhelmed, like, oh God, now I have to say something every birthday. And then it's like, I'm saying happy birthday to people I haven't seen in 30 years. They don't care.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is creating work for them to then respond.
Yeah.
Or look at my birthday. What the hell are we doing? right? Yeah. So, but of course, I'm not talking about like my actual loved ones. I'm talking about
people that you haven't talked to in 30 years.
But also, I still have to have Jamie remind me. So,
yeah, I don't do Facebook anymore, really. I just have it.
I open it every once in a while to make sure nothing blew up.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay, I'm going to run away now.
It's the only way I can get in touch with like high school friends. And I kind of don't want to miss out on that. But yeah.
Let's go to Tina.
Tina.
Hey, Tina, you keeping track of those dates?
I do. Actually, I don't know if you guys have Android or iPhones, but I know on Android phones, you can put the person's birthday in the contact.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then your phone reminds you on that date.
Wow.
Technology is amazing, Tina. Here's the problem. What? I don't. So then I forget to put in the birth date, and then it doesn't work for me that way.
Oh, well, that...
But I should.
So what do you do? Do you just send him a text that says happy birthday, or?
A lot of times, yeah, because, you know, mailing cards are not cheap anymore.
No.
And, you know, so it's, or send them an e-card.
Yeah.
You know,
like those little dancing, little dancing heads.
That's
Remember when
good.
We were all doing that for a hot minute? My mom loves those.
The dancing heads?
Like, what were those called? Do you guys remember?
Oh,
Jib Jab?
Well, Jib Jab.
Yeah, the Jib Jabs, yep.
Yeah. Those were kind of fun for a hot minute.
Yeah, so I do that kind of stuff, too, because you can put their email address, you can put everything in their contact, and then you've got everything, and you can send it to them on their day.
I love it.
You're very thoughtful, Tina.
Thank you, Tina.
I try. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're just trying to be better people.
Yes.
Sometimes you think about a person on their birthday, and then you forget to tell them you thought about them.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then you remember a few days later and you want to tell them.
Then you're like, but.
And then you think, well, I can't do that because that sounds really assy.
Oh.
Like I'm making it up.
Yeah.
But I just want all the people out there that I love to know.
Oh, my God. Here he goes.
That I did think about you.
On your birthday.
I just forgot.
Do it on your birthday. Like, go,
I'm going to thank
everyone. I just want to thank everyone. It's my birthday, so I'm just going
to
do
happy
for the whole year. Happy
me.
Birthday to everyone else.
But this is my way of saying to you, I know you too have a birthday. And when it is your birthday, just know that I will think of you.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And you are special.
Wow.
Well, Dawn, did you learn anything?
I learned that I am not, well, I knew this in advance, but... There's a better system for organizing because I write it in my paper calendar.
I will say doing the contact thing, that's what Jamie's gotten me in the habit of. When I ask, hey, when is so-and-so's birthday? He'll just send me their contact and he has it in their contact so that when I upload it to mine, it then shoots in. So I have gotten better at that because then to her point, it will, you know, you can have it just remind you.
That's true.
Mike, yes. Are you or Sarah the more conscious of birthdays?
Oh, that'd be... Well, Sarah's just better at keeping track of everything. She's far more organized. But I let Facebook do it. And if it's somebody that I don't leave Facebook messages, but if it's somebody that I feel like, oh, you're close enough, I need to send you a wish, then I'll just go to text them. Basically.
Yeah.
So Facebook's a reminder, and then I'll just send them a text.
I like that.
Do you get people gifts?
Not unless they're very close to me.
Yeah.
I don't buy a lot of gifts.
Not a lot of gifts.
Yeah,
no.
I don't expect gifts.
No.
Unless I'm going to like their home or like an occasion or like a birthday, then I might get a card and throw something in there or bring them a jar of jam.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Everyone appreciates
People
that.
Like homemade gifts anyway.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, on my birthday this last year, MC got everybody to give me like a video message.
That was very
compiled
sweet.
It was like a 30-minute thing, and I just kept crying.
Yeah, that's very.
It was like
adorable.
What this person, and it was just like people out of the blue too.
No, it was great. All right, Dawn, thanks for that conversation. When we come back here on the Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, because that's the name of our show. It's the third hour, and my friend got chickens, so we're gonna have a little chicken chat.
Chicken chat.
When we come back, right here on My Talk 107.1.